here. Take this podcast of Clezzy, Shane and Kimber in case you get stuck somewhere boring. It goes great with a Master's iced coffee too. The taste of the West for 50 years.
Hey, this is Kimber and here are today's best bits from Clezzy, Shane and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Out, oi, out,
oi,
out.
Oi, come on.
We're
come
out
on.
Of the grand final.
Isn't it a bit sad all the build-up to the World Cup? And
I know.
There in Brazil, the Aussies have lost a couple of games and we're out. But a brave showing last night. There'll be a lot of that kind of talk.
Yeah, but I suppose we'll just give you the score. Mm. You can go to YouTube and see Tim Cahill's goal, which is a volley, which is really hard. It was like if you're playing AFL, he was on the half-forward flank.
Yeah.
It came to him
on
his left, and it was in midair, and he shot it across his body with his left foot, top of the net, over top of the Dutchie, and that was the first goal for us. We were up 2-1 at one stage.
Yeah, that was the equaliser. The Aussie captain scored, but our defence with a couple of blokes out with injury, not quite as strong as we would have liked, and having a guy like Van Persie for the Dutch,
yeah,
they cleaned up. But the Netherlands 3, Australia 2, we're out of the World Cup. We will play dead rubber against Spain, but this is the Tim Cahill goal. Before we cross to Rio, our mate Chris Corner.
That is absolutely brilliant.
Well, Australia's been very, very good.
Chris Corner in Brazil. How was it?
Hey, guys. Oh, tell you what an exciting game. We were leading at one stage, and I thought we'd had it in the bag, and then the Dutch with their experience and just know-how and just sheer brilliance there just took it over the line, unfortunately.
Any sign of nerves by the Australians?
Yeah, there was. There was at the beginning of the game. Obviously, this was a crucial game, but they proved a lot of the critics wrong. And I think keeping an eye on some of these youngsters coming through the ranks in the next few years, as I've mentioned before. But Timmy Cahill, it's mixed emotions for him, of course. How's the feel over there in Perth? A lot of people stayed up for the game, I'm sure.
I think those people have all gone to sleep now, so we'll get an indication later. But there's a lot of people who are talking and buzzing around here, just saying about Cahill's goal, one of the great World Cup goals.
And it's a volley too. They're hard to kick, mate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it just shows the sheer brilliance and skill of the guy, and he deserves every penny he earns because Timmy Cahill, he's led from the front, and he really does us proud. And unfortunately, we couldn't get the results that we wanted, but the next World Cup, I think, and the Asian Championships coming up next year, this will be something Australia should be proud of, and their coach, Ange Postecoglou, he had these talented young men beforehand, and I think he'll hold the ship together for the next few years.
How will it be in Spain, mate? Because they won't be happy because they came here as the reigning champs and they're out.
Yeah, like in the AFL, you get that premiership hangover sort of thing. Look, they're like some Spaniards here that were staying in the motel room next door, and they were bashing the wall, they were hitting the mirrors, they're going crazy, mate. They're going a bit local, but they're not too happy they've flown all this way. But a lot of fans will be disappointed in the Spanish. I'm not too sure. Maybe they're just, that old saying, your time's up. They're too old. They're just, maybe there's so many younger, hungrier teams. Like, look at the Chileans. I mean, these young players, they want to prove themselves. They had so many fans in that stadium there in the Maracanã. It just shows you that South American-based teams can just really get over the line. The countries here are really hungry for this World Cup to succeed.
Mate, I've seen enough of the football, the world game, to see that some sides can dominate the whole game and lose. Where would we sit if we had have proceeded in the competition? I mean, like you say, Spain are too old. There's young and up-and-coming teams like Belgium and stuff. But Australia, could we have gone on?
I think so, to be honest. But that's probably, I'm a bit biased because I know a few of the players. But I tell you, their hunger's there, their passion. They play with their hearts on their sleeves, as they say. They could have gone on, I think so. But look, we had a really, there's no excuses. We had a draw that was pretty hard, but the group, what they call it, the group of death.
Group of death. Like,
they say that in every group. I mean,
it's a World Cup.
Yeah. But look, I think we could have gone on, but just you'll see these youngsters come through the ranks and the leadership there, Bresciano and Cahill. Full credit to these guys as well, because it's not easy sometimes in a country that's dominated by rugby and AFL and cricket in the summer to get that exposure. And I tell you, the crowd here were fully supportive of Australia. From my sources have told me, even the Dutch, you know, put their hats off to the Aussies, that, you know, the Anzac digger spirit, they just never gave up as much as they could, and they dug deep. And I think we should be very proud of them this morning.
So the Dutch and Chile go through to the round of 16. We play a dead rubber against Spain, and with two yellow cards, no Tim Cahill, but opportunities for other young guys in the squad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, disappointing for Timmy, but we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. I'm looking forward to watching some of the other countries as well coming through. I mean, Brazil yesterday, or the day before actually, it was disappointing to see their result there against the Mexicans. The country here, you know, there could be some lynch mobs hanging around if Brazil don't make it.
Okay, dude, fine. So we're going to still talk to you, even though Australia aren't there. Enjoy your stay. How is it still living in the land of the World Cup, Brazil?
Oh, Shane, it's heavenly. I'll tell you, it's when God created the men and women here, he was in a good mood that day, I'll tell you. You know?
Yeah, I hear you, brother.
The stadiums are world-class. The food is fantastic.
Who cares about the stadiums, Chris? Who cares about the stadiums? We get your vibe. We know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. Oh, sorry, Claire. Look, okay, no. Well, look, I've just eaten a massive churrasco. The food's good, a good prep value. The police are out and about as well, so zero tolerance. Yeah, it's a great place to be at the moment, yeah.
Good on you, champ. We'll catch up with you again soon in this amazing World Cup.
Next World Cup, boys, I want to see you here. I want to see you over in Russia with me, okay?
Oh, that sounds like a plan, dude.
Interesting. Vodka's all around. Thanks, bud.
There you go.
Wonderful actress Jessica Murray is going to play legendary Aussie cabaret entertainer Carlotta on ABC One with some, well, reviving memories of classic era King's Cross. Carlotta, welcome.
Well, nice to speak to you.
Carlotta, can you tell us what was it like, Sydney Lay Girls 1963?
Thrilling. Exciting.
Yes.
Thrilling, exciting. The Cross was a completely different place. It was magical. I was talking about this earlier today. I said, you know, many years ago when I was overseas, every time I went overseas, anyone could talk about was King's Cross.
Mm, wow.
I've been overseas recently, no one mentioned it.
Your name is so famous in Australia. Did you have lots of friends living your life too, or did you sort of feel like a bit of a pioneer?
I get a little bit embarrassed, you know. I'm very grateful for people thinking that I helped. You know, I get called icon, and I feel like I've been around 100 years. Well, I'm close to it anyway.
Hey. But
look, I had a job to do. It was tough when I started out. It's a lot easier today. Hopefully I've done a good job, but I know this movie's done a bloody good job of getting the message out and telling the story.
Hey, Carlotta, what do you think of Jessica Murray? We love her because she's from Perth here.
Well, I just adore her. I picked her.
Oh, really?
For
cool.
The movie.
We were talking about that. We thought, who would you pick? So you did it.
Yes, I remember years ago, because I bought two books out and the movie was taken from the books. It's a part of my life up to the 80s. I just thought she was perfect because I saw a movie called Victoria, Victoria years ago with Julie Andrews in it.
Mm.
And she played an impersonator.
Right.
Pretending to be a man,
yeah,
but dressing up as a girl. When we were doing the movie about 5 years ago, looking around, I thought, there's no one that looked like me then today. Because the drag scene, it's done like a U-turn. It's like they're a comic version of us.
Yeah.
Yep. Talk about your day. Was there prejudice? Like, we're talking about the 60s here. Like, girls getting about and entertaining. Was there much prejudice against you kids?
Yeah, there was a policeman that used to, I think they worked on points, like when they book your car. I used to call him Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. He reminded me of Robert Helpman out of the that movie.
Oh, yes.
He had the net and chasing kids. Well, he'd look for drag queens on the streets, get them arrested, because we weren't allowed to walk in the street unless we had men's clothes on. You could have all your face hair done on, but I bucked that system. I got arrested, and the judge said, what's the charge? Because the only thing they could come up with was offensive behaviour.
Right.
And there was no law saying a man can't dress as a woman. And I said, well, what's the difference? You've got a wig and a robe on. Case dismissed.
Nice line.
Were you actually on set with Jess while they were recording?
Darling, I went down and did a few back things, like showing them how to do the makeup and hairdos and that. I read the script, loved it, and I spent a lot of time with Jess, but when they actually started film, I stood back and didn't go near it. to let her do her own thing.
Hey, can you tell us, I'm a bit fascinated by the cross. How is the cross now? How is it different in 2014? Is it full of yuppies pushing up those real estate prices? Or is it
I was talking about that to someone earlier and I said, one part of the cross, you think you're in Double Bay and then you turn your corner and you think, oh, my God, I thought I was in Bangkok.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Thanks, Carlotta. Good to catch up.
Thank you. You have a great day. Bye.
Clancy, Shane and Kimber. With Sharrod Wellingham from the West Coast Eagles.
Oh, just kidding that he wasn't playing last week. He ended up playing on 1G Ablett and starring Sharrod Wellingham. How are you, mate?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. A little bit less nervous than I was last week.
Yeah.
That one.
Funny that, isn't it? Yeah.
Tell us about when another team like that in the last quarter gets 6 goals in a row. Can you feel the run on?
Oh, absolutely. We were out on our feet for that last probably 15 minutes. We went down with a couple of injuries and didn't have many rotations on the bench. And when a team gets their tail up like they did, and it's just really hard to kind of
stop that
swell coming through. So we've got to get better at doing that. I think that's happened to us a few times this year.
Yep.
So we'll work at recognizing when that's happening and stopping it, because it's could have been a little bit more dramatic.
A little
than
bit
it was.
Dangerous. I saw the coach down on the boundary the last 7 or 8 minutes, looking nervous. But when that siren goes, is it more relief than anything?
Yeah, it was pretty. Oh no, I was actually really happy because. I was obviously relieved that we got the win, but yeah. I was pretty happy with the win. I remember just thinking that was a pretty good game. Mm. We played well for probably 75-80% of that game. And I remember just thinking, yeah, pretty happy with that. We beat the team in the top 8.
Yep.
Gold Coast are awesome. They got a really strong midfield. And I was just proud of the boys.
Yep. Cox obviously is under the spotlight. He says he's going to continue the season and he's not giving it in. Is he in good touch? Is he injured? Is he just old?
He's just old, you know. It does get harder to back it up week to week. But he put himself out there and said he wasn't right for that game last week.
Right.
105 games straight. I don't think he'd missed since 2009 or something. So
yeah.
An amazing effort. But he's a great team man. And if he doesn't think he can provide what we need, he'll obviously leave himself out. And as for the rest of the season, it'll probably be the same. You know, if he's ready to go, he knows that he can perform. He'll be out there.
Taxing on his body too. He's been running around like a giant ruck rover for all those years as well. That's the thing. Isn't
yeah, exactly. It takes his toll. And who knows? Maybe a week off, he'll come out and kill it again. What year was your All-Australian last? 2012?
I think so, yeah. A couple of years ago.
Come back to that.
Yeah. So, St Kilda, mate, any danger you guys will take them lightly? Because a team that's got Riewoldt and, a couple of those other midfielders in there.
Yeah. Can't take anyone lightly these days. And, we'll definitely look to go over there and get the win, but it's going to be hard. Every game's hard. You know, it's there's still bodies bashing out there, and we've got to still work hard. You know, we're a hard-working side that's got to put in the effort. If we're not there with effort and intent, then we're not really on, and we've probably started to realise that. And, if we show up on the day, I think, we should get the job done. And looking forward to getting a win on the road, which will be awesome.
Yeah. How is it emotionally for people like Selwood who've been told, like, that's it, and there's still, rest of the season to go?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit frustrating for Scoo because he's such a strong team man, loves being out there and being able to lead by example. That's probably the way... It's the way he leads is, the way he acts on the weekend. And for him to be missing the rest of the season, he'll be shattered. And, he'll obviously put his focus straight into getting ready as quick as possible. And, who knows, maybe if we sneak into the 8, play a couple of games, he could be ready come the latter part of the season. So he'll be looking at it that way. And hopefully everything goes correctly and
that'd be great.
He'll be able to influence later on in the season.
As a player, I mean, we're aware of it because the media are talking about it and we're talking about it at work and all the rest of it, the sports media. But are you aware of how fast the season's going? It's 10 weeks till finals?
It's amazing. Pre-season takes forever.
Yeah.
Like, you're there from mid-November and it takes forever for the round one to kick in. But then as soon as round one kicks in, it's like you're at round 22
it's
before
like
you can
flash.
Blink. Yeah. It's just the week to week, everything's so regimented. Like during the week, you're recovering for a couple of days and then you've only got one, possibly two training sessions where you can work on what you need to work on, and then you're straight back into the game. And so, it's that it's that routine that just ticks the week away so quickly. And it's pretty scary how quick a year can flash by, and so you've got to take advantage of it.
Other games played overnight, of course, the State of Origin, and we talked off air about Cahill's goal.
Amazing goal, wasn't it?
It was gold.
Do you get the game, the game of soccer?
Do I get it?
Yeah, like, do you like it?
Oh, I enjoy it. I think I like watching the highlights because it's too much
passing
around doing nothing.
I do a lot of winding through.
Schofield was saying the other day that he watches it on Foxtel, records it, and then watches it on speed 12.
Yeah, that's what I do. Or sometimes on 30.
And he reckons that's a good way to watch it.
Yeah.
But, I reckon it's amazing. They're so skillful and, you know, they're elite at what they do, and it's pretty amazing. Like, for him to get that volley in and bang it in across his body, left foot. I don't even know if he's a left foot or not, but left
foot. It was an amazing goal.
Strike. And, to go 3-2 against the Netherlands, who are, you know, World Cup up there with the favourites, pretty amazing effort by Australia. Pretty proud of them.
Yeah, what I do is I get the app and I find out what minutes the goals were kicked, and I know exactly where to pause it. Oh, this minute will
it's
be good.
Up.
Well, State of Origin last night, I was watching that on the big screen and I had my iPad on a documentary of Mel Brooks. So
I'm getting a bit bored, mate.
I'm watching that. It was so defensive.
The first half of the Origin was really, really defensive and quite boring, but you know, you could just tell that they were out there to smash each other. And I was watching it with a mate and I said it's kind of the same appeal of like a boxing match. It's not a technical sport as such. Well, I mean, I mightn't understand all the technical match game, you know, structures and things like that. But it honestly seems like they're just out there to bash each other as much as they can.
It's like an last man standing.
New South Wales
was the last man.
I was going for them last night. It's good to break the drought. So
it's been a while.
Successful.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, good luck on the weekend. It's Etihad Sunday against the Saints.
Correct. Thank you very much, mate.
And you, Sharon.
Well, that was refreshing. Thanks, Clazy, Shane and Kimber. Still need more? Grab a Master's Iced Coffee. The taste of the West for 50 years. Mix 94.5.